We're in a series titled Win the Day by Mark Batterson. And the whole series is about seven habits that help us to stress less and accomplish more. And these habits are very simple and basic, but when you and I practice them, when we get them into the daily fabric of everyday living, it can actually help us to stress less and to do more with our life. Well, the title of the message today is Fly the Kite. It's kind of a unique title, and so today we're going to talk about what it means to fly the kite in life itself. Some of you may be here today, and you're on the brink of or faced with a decision about your future. And you've been wrestling with it, wondering what God's perfect plan and will is. I hope the message today will give you some guidance, encouragement, or support that there's times in life where you fly the kite. Now, the big idea in the message, it's in your notes, is how you do anything is how you'll do everything. In other words, you and I have a sense of how we do life with quality, with a sense of excellence, with a sense of expectancy. And what we do with the little things is probably how we do the big things. So how you do anything is how you'll do everything, but we're talking about flying the kite. So let me give you the backdrop story here. Back in the 1800s, actually, it was in 1847. There was a civil engineer named Charles Ellet Jr. who was commissioned to build a suspension bridge in the Niagara Falls area. That the Niagara River, it goes for quite a while. And so what Charles Ellet did is he picked the closest, narrowest point between Canada and the United States to attempt to build a suspension bridge. Now, it's about 800 feet across. That's almost 3 football fields. It's a span, it's a distance. 225-foot cliffs on both sides. Nobody had ever done this before. Some thought it could never be done. But Charles Ellet thought it could be. Now, there was a challenge. How do you get a line started between Canada and the U.S., how do you get this connected? How do you begin this? And somebody came up with a really creative idea. Why don't we have a contest? And whoever can fly a kite from one side to the other, I think they're going to give them $10. And that was the prize. So a day was set, and sure enough, a bunch of kids showed up to fly a kite from one side to the other so a string could be stretched or reached, connect the two countries, the two banks. Well, the day came, and there's a fellow by the name of Holman Walsh, a 15-year-old boy, U.S. citizen, and he decided to do this. What he did, he took a ferry from the Canada side, from the U.S. side to Canada, because the winds blew that direction. And so Holman Walsh decided to fly a kite. He called it Union. That was the name of the kite. And so what he did is it was in January, it's cold, he flew a kite across, he tried to, from the Canada side to the U.S. side. It was dark, it was night, and all of a sudden his line went limp and his string had broke. He was disappointed. Well, he then later attempted it again, but he was the first guy to fly the kite successfully from one side to the other. Here's a picture of it. Have Allison put it up. So this is a sketch. But kids were flying a kite from Canada to U.S., 800-foot gorge, chasm, to connect the two countries. Well, it finally happened. January 30th, 1848, Walsh's kite made it across the gorge, winning him the $10 cash prize. Here's what they said about it. In the Buffalo Daily Courier, we have this day joined Canada with the United States by a cord, half an inch in diameter, and are making preparations to extend a footbridge across by the 1st of July. It started with the string. They took the string and then put a heavier cord on it and pulled it back. They then kept doing this until they had a 36 strands of 10-gauge wire that connected the two countries. Now here's a picture, a sketch of the bridge. It was the first suspension bridge in that area. It was a big deal because some thought it just couldn't be done. But here's the point. It started with a 15-year-old boy flying a kite. And it started with the string. And so when you think of this bridge and we say, isn't it amazing? And we are used to bridges in America. They're all over the place. We drive across them, don't even think about it. But this bridge in its beginning started with a kite string. And so today we're talking about flying the kite. And the kite is that kite string experience that you might be facing today. Something new, something different. You wonder if you should do it because it's so daunting, it's challenging. Is it worth it? Should I try it? But you and I are called, listen, in times of life where we fly the kite. And it's simply a mere kite string. Because you never know where it's going to lead to. And so today, as we think about flying the kite, it's a habit. I want to share three simple thoughts of what it means to fly the kite. And when you and I get a hold of this, I hope it will encourage somebody here today that is at that place in life where you wonder if you should do it or not. So take your sermon listening guide. Let's get started. Number one in your notes. How do you fly the kite? The first thing is this. You dream big, but you start small. You dream big, but you start small. Now, in Jeremiah 29, it's a great verse that God has a plan, a dream for your life. It's in your notes. Let's read it. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Listen, understand God's got the blueprint for your life. Actually, in the book of Psalms, there's a book already laid out for your life before you were born. He's got plans for you. It's nothing new. We're no surprise to God. He's already got the plan. You and I have to dream big. What is it, God, you have for me to do? What's my assignment? What's my purpose? What's your will? In 1 Corinthians 2, great verse about God, the scope of how big God is. Let's read it. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. Hey, we think we've maxed out in life, whether you're 50 or 60, 70, 80 or 90, and yet God has stuff for us at any age. I mean, we have never seen or heard what he's got for us. In Ephesians 2:10, let's read that on the backside of your sermon listening guide. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Circle the words good works. You see, God has something prepared specifically for you to be a blessing to other people. Now, this is where I get excited. Do you know why? When you get to a group of people together that have the same heart to please God and worship him, you know what he can do with a group of people? He can bless a community. He can bless a region or a state. It only takes a few people that really want to dream big. God's got the good works prepared for us. As we kind of come out of the COVID experience and we got ways to go, but we're making progress, I'm excited about what God will ask us as a church family to do to be a greater blessing to the community. The idea might come through you for the whole church. That's how it works. Dream big, but you start small. Okay, so in the book of Zechariah, I believe, there's a verse, and let me read it. It's in your notes. Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin, to see the plumb line in Zerubbabel's hand. They're about to build the temple or rebuild it. And the guy has a plumb line. A plumb line, you know, shows you if you're plumb or measurements and so forth. That's all. It was a small beginning. You always start small. And you're here today, and understand, you dream big, but you start small. How do you start small? You fly the kite. Everybody here knows and has heard about the corporation of Microsoft. And Microsoft was started by Bill Gates and a childhood friend named Paul Allen. And in 1975, April 4th, they started this company. Now, Microsoft, I didn't know it, but it's short for microcomputer software. They took micro and soft and out of those words, and it's called Microsoft. Now, today it's one of the four American trillion-dollar companies. You've got Apple, Microsoft, Amazon, Alphabet, and it all started in 1975. And they started small, and you know what I read? They started in a garage. You talk about flying the kite. I mean, we see these massive worldwide companies that are worth billions of dollars, but many of them started in a garage. But there's a backstory to this. Microsoft started in 1975, but in 1972, 3 years earlier, they founded TrafoData, TRAFO data. And what they did, they built a basic computer to track and analyze automobile data. Now, you may have never heard of that one. That was 3 years earlier. You know what they were doing? They were flying the kite. It probably didn't go where they wanted it to, but then in 75, they got another idea. Let's do software on a bigger scale. They went a different direction, and the thing has just taken off. Today, it's a trillion-dollar company. But it started when two guys in 1972 decided to fly the kite. You see, you and I have to, we can dream big, but you start small. And for Holman Walsh, he's a great example that your kite string can lead to a suspension bridge. And so flying the kite is all about, hey, okay, God, you've got plans. I want to understand and hear them. A week or two ago, we talked about how Elijah heard the sound of heavy rain. Remember that? It hadn't rained for over 3 years. And Elijah was just listening to God, and God says, okay, it's time to make it rain. He heard it first. He was the first guy to hear God's Spirit say, okay, it's going to rain now. Elijah, you can tell the people. He heard the sound of heavy rain. He heard it first. He heard it through this still small voice. You see, you can be an Elijah to your family, to your church, and to your community. And you just have to listen. And when you hear it, you start small. You fly the kite. You go after it. You never know where it can lead to a suspension bridge. So point number one. Wow. God, what do you have for me to do? What's my assignment? What do you want to use my life for? You dream big. I mean, the Word says He's got something for everybody. But then you start small. You simply fly a kite of some kind. Let's go to number two. The second point of being able to do this is we pray as though everything depended on God, and you work as though everything depended on you. In other words, there's a relationship between the two. You pray hard, but you work hard. Now, the tendency is, and I've been guilty of this, is I love to work hard without praying hard. Or you can pray hard and not work, and we get out of balance. Augustine said, there's two parts to this. Great example is the book of Nehemiah. It's on his heart that he wants to go to Jerusalem, hundreds of miles away, to rebuild the walls. The people are in disgrace, and he just felt motivated to do that. And I want you to read with me verse 11 out of chapter 1. It's in your notes. O Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant and to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man. So as the story goes, Nehemiah has his brother and a friend come to visit him. Nehemiah is working in the king's palace. He's the cupbearer. He tries to taste all the food and drinks so the king doesn't get poisoned. And he hears about that Jerusalem is in disgrace, and it's on his heart to go there and help rebuild the walls. And before he approaches the king, you know what he does? He prays. He fasts. He said, God, I need your favor before I go before him. I want you to bless this whole cause. And so he prayed to the God that can give him favor. And in verse 11, that's simply part of his prayer. You see, you and I have to always seek God's favor and blessing upon whatever we do, because he can do for us that which we cannot do for ourselves. It's possible to go through life and never tap into that. If we don't take time to pray for the supernatural to be released in our situation, in our life, listen, we're just kind of motoring through life on our own. But if we do take time, you can have a supernatural divine empowerment in the cause that God has put into your life to live out, the dream. So the first part is to pray as though everything depended upon God. Then you work as if everything depended upon you. Let's read together the next verse. It's when the people, or he had gone to Jerusalem, and he rallied the people. Let's read it, verses 17 and 18. Then I said to them, you see the trouble we are in. Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been burned with fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, and we will no longer be in disgrace. I want you to notice something. God did not come down and build the walls for them. He didn't. That was the job of Nehemiah and the people. You see, it's like putting feet to your prayers. When you and I have a dream, God will do his part to grant us favor, but you and I have to put our shoulder to the load to make it happen. And so understand there's a relationship when you fly the kite. Okay, God, I'm trusting you. I'm calling upon you for favor. You got to do that first. Then you go to work as if everything depended upon you. It's a balance. It's a relationship. And one does not happen without the other when God calls us to do a certain task. I read a story about a lady. Her name was Liz Higgs, and she had a speaking engagement, and she was flying through the Detroit airport, and her flight was canceled, whether it was bad weather or whatever, and she was very frustrated because they lost her suitcase. And so she went to the airline person and said, well, how long until my suitcase comes? And the guy said, well, it could be 30 minutes, could be 2 hours, it could be never. She was very frustrated because she needed to be, I think it was in Oklahoma City the next day for a presentation. She needed to change her clothes and so forth. Very frustrated. So you know what she did? She called her husband 350 miles away and started to vent on him and say, hey, my luggage is lost, my flight's been canceled. And here's what he said. His name was Bill. He said, I'm sorry, honey. I'll pray. Now, at that point, she had forgot to pray. And as the night went on, she got convicted and said, you know what? Here I am ranting and raving. And she knew she should have prayed, but she forgot to. And so she prayed. She said, Lord, here I am. I ask you to help me find my suitcase and so forth. Well, it was just a short period of time, and out of the carousel popped her suitcase. And she got all of the stuff that she needed, and she felt so relieved. And she said, Lord, please forgive me for not praying first. And she said his response was gentle but firm. I created the universe, Liz. Could you not trust me with one bag? But how many times do I or do we go into something and just kind of do it as if everything depended upon us, but not spending time praying, asking that God, everything depends on you. And when you and I get these two in rhythm, in a sense of proportion, in balance, let me tell you, God does amazing things. He did it with Nehemiah. He prayed first, then he went to work, prayed again, worked more. And so you and I have this relationship between these two categories that we have to follow. So number one, hey, dream big, start small, fly the kite. A string can lead to a suspension bridge. Number two, pray as if everything depended upon God. Work as if everything depended upon you. And then number three, this is a biggie. Slow and steady wins the race. Slow and steady wins the race. In Aesop's fable, there's the story of the tortoise and the hare. And the tortoise ended up winning the race. And here's a picture of it. It's it's kind of like the reason was, and I read this, the hare, the rabbit, was overconfident in his abilities and decided to take a nap, and the tortoise passed the hare. You see, there's something about slow and steady winning the race. Don't be in a hurry, just keep moving forward. In the book of James, there's a couple verses there that are amazing verses to encourage somebody that is under quite a load. Let's read verses 2 through 4 together. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, lacking in anything. Listen, the word perseverance, it means to remain under. Now, I don't especially care for this verse or verses when it says consider it joy when I go through tough times, but there's truth to it that when I'm mature and look at it, listen, whatever you're going through, if you remain under it, and God will supply you with strength to get you through it. There's some things I've prayed for, Lord, take it away. He's done that. Other things I've prayed that has not happened. Maybe the same for you. And wow, I feel like I'm still under it. But you know what's being developed? Your perseverance muscle. The only way you can build certain muscles if you stretch and condition them. Coach Hoover's here this morning, and he's a football guy. And hey, there's conditioning that's required to get you in peak performance. And the same thing is true in your faith. A perseverance muscle must be pushed and stretched and taxed in order for it to be developed to a higher level of ability and performance. Slow and steady wins the race. So as you think about flying a kite, understand we all do that periodically in life. You got to dream big but start small. That's what Holman Walsh did. Number two, you got to pray as if everything depended on God and everything, but everything work as if it depends on you. Number three, slow and steady wins the race. The story about Holman Walsh, there's more to it. He broke his kite string on that night when he thought he had his kite across, but it snapped, so he had to start over. He had to walk 2 miles to go to the bridge crossing. There was a ferry, but because of ice on the river, he was hung up for 8 days before he could cross back to the U.S. to go get his kite. 8 days. Can you imagine his anxiety? saying, wow, some other kid's going to get their kite across. 8 days is a long time. He finally made his way back to the U.S. side, got his kite, went back to the Canadian side and tried it again. And that is when he was successful. He had to do some perseverance, didn't he? You and I have to persevere in flying our kites if it doesn't always go right the first time. So I want to close with three simple slides. Here's the first one. This is a quote by, of all people, Lauren McCall. But if you can read it, it says, imagination is the highest kite one can fly. What has God put into your imagination this morning of what he wants to do in your life? Because that's where it starts. If you and I don't have a dream, if we don't have a big goal, if we don't have a passion for the impossible, the improbable, imagination is the highest kite that can possibly fly. That's what this guy by the name of Ellett had when he said, yeah, we can build a suspension bridge between Canada and the U.S. over the Niagara Gorge. It's imagination. I want you to stop right now and ask yourself, what is your biggest dream? I mean, what is it you have in you that God has gifted you with and you have the ability to do? And he's saying, I want you to go after this. And it all starts with your imagination. Here's the second slide. Kites rise against the wind, not with it. Chances are you have resistance in your life in some area. We all do. It could be in your home. It could be in your own heart. It could be in your workplace. It's resistance. It's windy out there. There's seasons of windiness. But here's the point. Kites rise against the wind, not with them, against the wind. If you have resistance going in your life today, let me tell you, you have a kite flying opportunity before you. Why? A kite will go higher, an eagle will fly higher when it flies against the wind. Imagination, wow, that's the highest kite that can ever fly. You gotta dream big, but then understand you're gonna get resistance somewhere. But know this for a fact, kites rise against the wind, not with it. And here's the final slide. What is your kite this morning? I mean, maybe you're already onto it. There's some project or some calling or sense of, hey, I want to do this. Maybe it's working with kids or teenagers. Maybe it's the young adult, young at heart group. I mean, what is your kite? What is it that you feel like God is calling you to do? And as you fly the kite, wow, you dream big, but you start small. You know why? It can become a suspension bridge. You got to give it time. Years later, Homan Walsh, he lived in Lincoln, Nebraska for many years, and they interviewed him about this whole suspension bridge experience. And it's reported that his greatest memory as a child, his greatest exploit as a teenager, was when he flew this kite. It was his favorite memory. See, it all starts small. And even for Homan Walsh, it did too. He probably had no idea what could happen. He won the $10, but it became something bigger. The same is true of you and me. You can bless the community through your life. You know how? You fly a kite. And you just never know. You never know where it's going to lead to. Because when you call upon God to bless it and you do the work, the hard work to make it happen, you put those two together, it's good stuff. Slow and steady wins the race. You keep at it. You persevere. Even though you're under the load, you keep pushing forward. God will give you grace. And those are the people in life who God blesses and uses the most. Let's bow for prayer. We're going to take just a couple of moments, heads bowed and eyes closed. Ask God to show you what your kite is. I mean, his word says he's got something for you, for each of us. Imagine it, dream it, incubate it in your heart. Age is not the issue here. It's our availability. Caleb was 85, and he was all excited about taking Hebron when they went into the land of Canaan, the burial place of his ancestors. I mean, God has good works prepared in advance. So I want you to take a few moments of silence. Say, God, where do you want me to fly the kite? Father, I pray for your favor upon every heart here today, this moment. You know the dreams of each life. You know the aspirations of our future. Father, I pray that you will birth within somebody here today an idea that will bless the community beyond measure. I pray you'll drop it into somebody's mind. It's a simple thing, but whatever it is, that you will just somehow, some way, make us an Elijah. Where we hear the voice of God that says, it's about to rain, Elijah. He hears it, he believes it, and it happens. Father, make us all an Elijah to our families, to our communities, to the church, in our workplace, and even to the world. So Lord, we're just offering ourselves to you this morning. And we will be obedient the best that we can to fly the kite. A simple string, one step at a time. And we'll ask you to bless it until it becomes a suspension bridge that will be used or blessed by the multitudes. Father, we thank you that you're the God that can flip the script. You help us to overcome things, life, and we pray going forward you'll change our stories because of who you are in us. In Jesus' name, amen.